Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 11th, 2024, and we are reading from the Big Book, continuing in How It Works, page 64, the first paragraph, Therefore We Started Upon, through to the end of that paragraph, ending with Fool Himself About Values. Today's readers are Deborah L., who will read the text, Anne S.C.H. will read A Vision for You, and Wendy M. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Betsy H., and Jody E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, December 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,981, 21981. And for Wednesday, December 11th, the 7 a.m. Eastern, is 21,984, 21984. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jan L. in Florida to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Jan.
You're welcome. Good morning, and thank you all on the line doing service. The 12 steps of OA. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Jan L. in Florida. I will now ask Blair S. in California to please unmute, join us, and read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Blair.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for your service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He expresses Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Blair S. in California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. All right, today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're still in the chapter How It Works, and today we're looking at the first full paragraph on page 64. Therefore, we started a personal inventory through to not fool himself about values. And I will now ask Deborah L. to please join us and start reading and sharing her experience with this paragraph. Thank you, Deborah.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. My name is Deborah L. I'm recovered compulsive overeater in Arizona. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step 4. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to everyone on this meeting and all of the Vision for You meetings. I've wanted to do this for so long, and I never had the required abstinence, and I'm just so grateful. The first thing that jumped out at me on this paragraph was a business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. In the past, I'd always done inventories, maybe once a year, once every couple of years, but I never did regular inventories. And now what I do after I've done this 4-step is I do daily inventories as things come up. I do nightly inventory, and then I also do at least once a year, probably more, and then I also do specific inventories on things that keep bothering me if I find myself getting angry or fearful about the same thing over and over again. I'll do a specific inventory on that. The other thing that jumped out is we started upon a personal inventory, and I'd always taken everybody else's inventory and not really done my own. It was always all about what they did to me. And this time, it's like really focusing on, sure, maybe some people did a wrong to me, but how have I held on to it for all these years? And I've gotten a lot of freedom from really realizing that the people who wronged me are spiritually sick. And what else do I want to say? The part about going broke. I think with my spiritual sickness that I have, I've been really broke spiritually because of hanging on to all these resentments and fears. And letting them go is, in this last four step that I did, was really something that just gave me a lot more freedom to move on with my life. Part of reading this paragraph this morning, I released a fear about it because I felt like, oh, I have to say something clever or profound, but I don't have to because I've taken step two before this. And step two is that God is everything or God is nothing. And I really feel that this time in my program. The four-step inventory has been one of the most amazing and releasing parts of my recovery, and I'm really grateful
to
be here.
Time, Deborah.
And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Deborah L. in Arizona. Okay, before I take a lineup of names, let me remind everybody where we are in case you came in midway. Page 64, the chapter How It Works, the first paragraph, therefore we started upon a personal inventory through to not fool himself about values. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So when you unmute to share, if you could give me your first name, last initial, or the state or country you're calling from. Who would like to share this morning?
Sonia H., California.
Thank you, Sonia.
Wendy M.
Thank you, Wendy. Got you. Anyone else like to join this first lineup? We certainly have time.
Sure.
Barbara A.
Okay, Barbara A., and then I heard somebody else.
Joan Marie.
Joan Marie, I saw
Gwen
you.
Liz E.
But got you, Liz. Thank you. But there's two other people. I didn't get their names.
Audrey C. and Virginia.
Audrey C. Virginia, got you. And who's with Audrey?
Gwen H. Minnesota.
1H, Minnesota. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Bruce
Here
e
is who
in
I
Florida.
Have. All right, Bruce. Thank you. Bruce will be our last one on this. So I have Sonia H., California, Wendy M., Colorado, Barbara A., you'll tell us where you're from. Joan Marie is from Nevada. Liz E. is from the UK. Audrey C., Virginia, 1H in Minnesota, and Bruce E. in Florida. So if everybody other than Sonia H. could mute their lines, off we go. Okay, Sonia, take it away.
Thank you so much. I wanted to give thanks to everyone who's of service at this meeting. I have come to rely on it as part of my my morning, and I'm just so appreciative for it. Grateful to look at the big book and this paragraph. One of the things that happened when I did a fourth step was realized that it was to discover the truth about the stock and trade. I was able to see that my inventory, just as was mentioned earlier, was not all that great. You know, I thought that everyone else had the problem and I had it all together. And I was able to disclose the damaged or unsaleable goods and get rid of them, probably with my higher power. The goal
Oh, Sonia, we can't hear you. Did you press mute by mistake? Sonia, star one to unmute. Oh, perhaps she got disconnected. All right, well, we will come back if we have time. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, please share.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. in Colorado, recovered. Susan, thank you for your service. And the lead share was fantastic. It reminded me that I'm taking everybody else's inventory, and that's what I did for a living. I've been doing that for years, and I got to admit that when she said it, I was like, oh, my God, I'm taking someone's inventory just this morning. And that's how this program works, right? We get honest. You know. So a couple things I want to say about this. Number one is the word discover the truth. The first time I saw myself in the mirror and admitted truth about myself was step four. You know, again, I wanted column one and column two to be the only thing we focus on. That guy and what did he do to me? And God said, the first two columns, we erased them, actually. The only thing we're interested in is your part, you know. So, and being honest with ourselves, really, that is the gift of this program. That is what has given me the freedom that I get today when I am honest, because I've been a liar my whole life. You've got to lie to get the hit, right? I've got to lie to get the food or whatever hit I'm looking for. So now we're going to be honest. That's amazing. And then it says, promptly, without regret. I love that. So we do this quickly. I tell my sponsees, you know, a week, maybe two for the whole thing. There's no need to drag this on because this is going to sound weird. It's not personal. It's fact-finding. We're just getting the fact. That's all we're retrieving. And then without regret, I've got sponsees who say, I'm so sorry I did this. I'm such a horrible person. I'm like, no, no, no. This is not about regret. This is just information. You know, we're trying to find the things that we've done that have served us until now, and now they don't serve us anymore, right? So it's there's no regret. This isn't about being a good person or a bad person. This is just about getting well. And the only way I know how to get well is to be honest, not just in step four, but in all of the steps. And that's the only way. And then it says, finally, don't fool yourself, right? I've been fooling myself for years. It's their problem. I'm going to take their inventory, right? I didn't even know I was doing that until I did step four, when it said, we're only going to look at your side of the street. And you know what that did for me? It gave me freedom like I've never had before. What a relief to know I've been doing these things and that they don't serve me anymore. Thank you, God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Next, Barbara A. Barbara, I think you're in California.
Yes, my friend. Barbara? Thank you. This is Barbara A.
Thank you.
Yes. Hi. Yes, this is Barbara A. from California. And I'm thinking, man, I shared yesterday, I read the paragraph, and I hope I'm not stepping on. I just felt so compelled to say how many times I stopped here. I really want to talk to the newcomers. I stopped so many times when it came to step four. I wasn't willing to do that fact-finding, fact-facing process. I want to just pray for everyone who's even thinking about, I can't do this, that you can. I did it. I just found that was the beginning. It's a process. It was the beginning of learning. As I spoke with my sponsee today, learning of being compassionate and loving towards myself. I can't give that away unless I'm compassionate and loving with myself. I can't be compassionate and loving with others. And one of the ways I did that was doing this fact-finding, fact-facing process, getting rid of them without regret, without blame, without shame. I love what the previous speaker said. These are just facts. They're just things that I'm saying, yeah, I just don't want to do this anymore. I've used these things in the past to hurt myself, to condemn myself, to shame myself, to blame myself, to keep myself in the food, and I don't want to do that anymore. I love what people say, uncover, discover, discard. We're learning facts about ourselves that keep us from the light of the spirit. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Barbara A. in California. Next, we have Joan Marie. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Morning, Susan. Thank you for your service, and thank you for everyone that shared. Wow, powerful, powerful. And that brings me to this disease, cunning, baffling, and powerful, without help. Without help? Whose help? The God of our understanding. And with this fourth step, it's clearing away all the garbage, all the things that hindered us from walking in the sunlight of God. And this process is something that you will be doing if you were like me, stick around long enough. This will not, if this is your first, this will not be your last. So it's just doing it and getting it done and getting it out of the way so that the freedom, the light, draws near to you. And the damage of our thoughts, the way we thought about things, the way we reacted to things, are those blockages. And so today, there's such freedom in being honest, and being able to be willing and to go to any length. And with this step, it's going to any length to get what? Freedom. Freedom from the bondage of self. Freedom from the bondage of food. And so marvelous is this 12-step program. And I thank everyone that shared. I thank you, the first person that shared, because for me, that's really being brave to start out first. So, and if you feel you don't have anything to say, you do. So speak up, and thank you all. I pass.
Thank you so much. And we're going to backtrack. Sonia H. was kicked off and she's back. So Sonia, I'm going to give you 2 minutes if you'd like to come on the line and finish sharing with us. We'd love to hear. And thank you, Joan Marie from Nevada.
Thank you.
Sonia, so you're welcome.
Okay. I just want to make sure you can hear me okay. The part I wanted to share about this was to discover the truth about the stock and trade. I didn't have any idea what I was made of, what my stock was, so to speak. I was so busy looking at everyone else and what they were doing, and they were the problem, and telling them about how they were the problem. And so to discover that that I had character defects, to discover that I had patterns of dealing with people and patterns of looking at people in a particular way, those were the facts that came out of my fourth step. Those were the things that directed me on what I needed my higher power to assist me with, so that the business of dealing with other people could go much smoother, because it wasn't going smooth. Even the business of how I treated myself wasn't going that smooth. I am so grateful for everyone's share. I'm so grateful for all the things that I learned from everyone here. Today, I'm open and I can be teachable. And that's different than how it was when I first came into program. I wasn't very teachable. I just thought I knew everything. And I am always taken in awe by the shares of others. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, and I'm so glad you made it back. All right, next we're going over to the UK. Good morning, Liz E. Well, good afternoon, actually, but join us.
Hi, this is Liz E. from New York.
All right, sorry, go ahead. I thought it was the other one. New York, go for it.
Okay, thank you, Susan. I'm just going to kind of reorient myself to the reading here. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This is personal. This is looking at me, not anyone else. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. My program is going to go broke if I don't look at myself. It's growth. I have to be growing at all times, because if I don't, I can only stand still for so long before I go backwards. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. When I sit down and I do a step four, I sit down with a pencil and I sit down with a piece of paper in front of me, and I ask God to show me things. And I divorce myself from my emotions at that point. It's a pen and it's a paper and it's God and it's revelation of who I am and what is good to hold on to and what needs to go. So I divorce myself from my emotion at that point and I write down things. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade. I'm doing an inventory. It's a business. There's no emotion. It's black and white. I write these things down. One object is to disclose, to be aware of, damaged or unsaleable goods. What's not working? In black and white, write it down, Liz. To get rid of them promptly and without regret. This does not serve me. It needs to go. Write it down. If the owner of the business is to be successful, if my program is to be successful, if my spiritual growth is to be successful, I cannot fool myself about values or about what's true. Right now, my husband is driving. I've got my ear pad on, and I'm looking outside, and I'm on country roads, and you know what? The leaves are gone. When I drive in these roads, and, you know, he's driving, and I'm looking around, the leaves are on the tree. I'm not seeing everything there is to see. Well, right now, the leaves are gone. And I'm seeing things I haven't seen before because the vision is clear. When I ask God to remove those things that are not serving me and not allowing me to serve him, then I can see clearly. So the leaves are gone. I'm seeing all sorts of stuff. I'm seeing some really beautiful hillsides, some creeks. And I'm also seeing yards that have, like, cars that a junkyard. I didn't know a junkyard was there behind those leaves. So I need to allow God to show me these things. Put the pen to the paper and say goodbye to them so I can see. Thank you for letting me share, Susan.
Thank you, Lizzie in New York. There is a Lizzie in the UK too. Anyway, before we go to Audrey, 1 second. I just want to remind everybody where we are in case you've come in halfway through. We're on page 64, the first paragraph. Therefore, we started a personal inventory through to not self about values. And now we're going to go to Audrey C. in Virginia. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning. Thank you, Susan, and everyone for doing service in this meeting. I was so nervous about doing my fourth step, just taking a personal inventory and sharing it with someone else. It was kind of scary at first, but after doing it, I felt so relieved and like a weight had been lifted. I could really feel like the Spirit of God beginning to work in me and change me. I'm so grateful for these steps and working with the sponsor and for what God is revealing to me and showing me where I need to change my behaviors. And I continue to take a daily inventory each day. Just so that I can move forward, you know, with faith and love and not be in a spirit of fear. So I'm just grateful to be here, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Audrey C. in Virginia. Next, we're going to go to Juan H. in Minnesota. Good morning, Juan.
Hi, my name is Gwen, G-W-E-N, Gwen H. in Minnesota. That's all right. Thanks for letting me share today. I had a little bit of time to read about this morning when the 6 o'clock hour came, well, six for me anyway. And I kind of started looking at the the phrase in the paragraph that said to discover the truth and stock, the truth about the stock and trade. It made me think about Bill and Lois spending a year on a motorcycle, and they covered the entire Eastern Seaboard. I read some very interesting things that they went through to obtain the information he wanted. It didn't describe anything about what the data they collected on the companies, but lots of details about the process they went through to get the information. Lois Wilson wrote a book about that time in their lives called The Diary of Two Motorcycle Hobos. I would love to read that, but by golly, the book sells for about $200 to $900. Not going to happen. But he uses that as an example of doing a step four. Getting at those facts was a tedious, difficult process, but it paid off in spades after it was completed. They were well rewarded for all the trouble they went through to bring those hard-won facts to light. And once those were uncovered, they were free to explore other companies, which could be compared to other resentments or fears that we have, in a much more comfortable way. The gift of desperation that drove them both to do whatever it took, they were willing to go to any length, and they were sorely tested doing it. So I think that doing a step four, you're going to be sorely tested doing it, but keep going. Because that's what Bill W. compared doing a step four was the fact-finding. And fact-finding is not always easy. But that's my take on it, and that's all I got. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Gwen H. in Minnesota. Next, we have Bruce E. in Florida. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Susan. It's Bruce E. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida area, and I'm very grateful to be recovered. I'm very grateful to be on the call today and grateful to hear the shares today, especially that opening share. And this one hits me kind of in the face here. I've been real good about taking other people's inventory, but not too good about taking my own. I don't want to take my own. Then I got to look at myself. So it says here, a business that takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Well, I've been in the, I didn't retire from the clothing business, but I was owned three different clothing stores, three different times in different places. But I went broke, close to it anyway. And because one guy told me, he says, you like this? And this guy was an advisor or something on, you know, stores and stuff. And he said, you love this stuff so much, you don't want to get rid of it, even though it's been in here a long time. You know, you got to get rid of it. You got to mark it down, get rid of it. I was scared to. I didn't want to mark it down. And I didn't want to lose the money, you know, and he was right. You know, I need to get rid of that stuff. Just like in my own life, man, there's stuff that I'm working on all the time getting rid of. Resentment, fear, retaliation, all that stuff. And when I don't feel comfortable, you know, when I'm going along and I don't feel comfortable, that's when there's something that's in there that I need to get rid of. You know, I don't feel comfortable. I can do a soul search and I can ask myself, what is that that's making me that way that I don't feel comfortable? And then I can identify it and I can get rid of it. I can do a 10th step or I can surrender it, you know, whatever works. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. Man, that's for sure. You know, damaged, non-saleable goods, get rid of them promptly and without regret. Yeah, these damaged, non-saleable goods that I've got in my self that I need to get rid of. Yeah, man, greed, pride, you know, all of that. You know, it's got to go. You know, it has to go because I can't really serve my creator effectively if I'm eaten up with these character defects. So, well, that's enough for me.
Thank you, Bruce. Perfect timing. All right, so before I take the next round of names, we should have time for quite a few more shares. Just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And again, we're sharing on the first paragraph, page 64, therefore we started upon a personal inventory. So if you could give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you're calling from this morning. Any takers?
Jen A, Colorado.
Thank
Jody
you, Jen.
E.
Thank you, Terry, Jody.
Terry H. M.
Thank you, Terry. Terry, where are you calling from?
It's Sherry. And I'm
Terry,
calling from
sorry.
No problem.
Washington State. Yes. Okay. We might have time for one more if you want to throw out one more name. If not, we'll get going. All right, so I'm going to pause there so we don't waste. Jeff A, thank you, Jeff. Hopefully there will be time. All right, so I've got Jen A, Jody E, Sherry HM, and Jeff A. Take it away, Jen.
Good morning, Suze. Thanks so much for taking the meeting, and thanks for all the awesome shares. It's been a great meeting this morning. I'm glad when I have a day off I can come in and sit all the way down with y'all and listen and hear what people have to say. And you know, my experience, strength, and hope on this paragraph at the top of 64 is, you know, when I opened my book's like falling apart at this area because I kept going back to do this personal inventory. You know, I did it once with my sponsor, and I laid out all the columns. He gave me a sheet, you know, and taught me how to do this inventory process 1 through 7. And, you know, now I continue to do this. You know, it's a fact-finding, fact-facing mission on a daily, weekly basis because left to my own devices and left to myself, I'm an addict. I lie, cheat, steal, manipulate, negotiate, and always think that everybody else is doing me dirty and doing me wrong. And I sing that song, the Somebody Done Me Wrong song, all the time. But the reality is when I put this down on paper, I love what it says. I can look at column one, the person I'm resentful for, the principal, the institution, the place. I can tell you exactly why I'm angry, and I can give you a list of adjectives as to what I think of this person. But what it really boils down to is that everything that's happening in my life affects me some way. It affects my self-esteem, my pride, my security, my ambitions, my pocketbook, my personal and sex relations, and then what happens to me? Okay, so now I'm looking at it. What am I going to do with it? And thank you, God, that he gives me the instructions in this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I pray that sick man's prayer, and I let that person off the hook. Because that person, you know what? They're just showing me where I'm out. And when I get to the exact nature of my wrongs in that last column, I am so grateful that I get to see and I get to do the fact-finding and fact-facing process in this column. You know, how am I holding this upset in place? What's the exact nature of my wrongs? Why am I being selfish? You know, Jennifer, what's your attitude in this situation? And every statement I put in that column is I. And what am I self-seeking? What is the action that I'm taking that might be offending someone? Or what am I doing? Am I holding it in my head? Am I chewing them up and spitting them out in my mind? Or am I actually being rude to them, speaking rudely to them, and then I'll probably owe them an amends. And then what's the dishonesty? What are the lies I'm believing? What are the truths I'm omitting? How am I contributing to it? And where did I act or where did I fail to act to it? And my favorite one in this one is just simplify it. You know what, Jen? How are you holding your hand in the fire in this situation? Because you're going to get burned every single time if you keep doing it. And I begin to see when I keep dwelling that down through the fear inventory that what I am is I'm really afraid. And when I go through that fear inventory, then God can show me, this is what you're afraid of. But you don't need to be afraid. Ask me to remove that defect of character that's standing in the way of your usefulness and go out and be love and light to others. And my time is up. So I'm just so thankful for this meeting. Thanks so much, Suze, for taking it today.
Thanks, Jen A in Colorado. Next, we have Jody E in Northern California. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E. And thanks, everybody, who has shared and given service. Fantastic meeting. Welcome to our newcomers. I'm sure you're impressed, as am I. So I don't have anything new to say all I have to say is my experience, strength, and hope. And that is that as I grow and learn and live in this program, I'm becoming more, simply more aware of my patterns, my tendencies as a human being. I have a tendency to be insecure, and that leads me to step on the toes of my fellows to try to get what I think I need to feel secure. So if I was a business, I would be going broke if I was acting and doing business on that basis. A very insecure basis. Like, I have to grab what I can get from my customers instead of coming from a motive of to my customers. So today, I pray all day long for God to remove the bondage of self, which to me is synonymous with fear. When I'm in my small self, my ego, I'm insecure, I'm afraid, I feel like I'm not enough. And when I ask God to remove that, I'm able to do what I think He would have me do. My work, my sponsoring, whatever it is that I'm doing. But I have to pray that prayer every time I remember to. Like at least once an hour. Please, God, remove the bondage of self so that I can better do your will. If you can use me, please use me. Get me out of the way. And if I were the business, which I am, kind of like a business, I want to succeed, then I'm in the business of giving. Of being of service, of giving a service or a product that is worth something. And that's my focus today. With the grace of God getting me out of the way so that I can do that. So have no fear. This is a fearless inventory. Yes, there are shameful things on my fourth step, very shameful. But I see them with compassion today. I'm a human being. And we're all wounded as children. Thank you, Susan. And we act out from that wounded place. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody E. Next, we have Sherry H.M. in Washington. And Jeff, hopefully we can get to you too. Go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. This is Sherry H.M. from Washington. Just great, Sherry with a C. So grateful to be a part of this program. This has really changed my life the past 10 years. So, I have this junk drawer. I think a lot of people do. And I'm pretty organized overall, but that junk drawer, oh, it's just chaotic. And then what happens with that junk drawer is if I keep filling it too full, it all falls out the back of the drawer. And this reminds me of the step four, because, you know, I need to clean up the stuff as I go along. When the stuff falls out the back of the drawer, that's representative of me going to food to get peace, to take away the shame, which ironically creates more shame to get out of that fear, that resentment, and for me, that self-pity. I've got my black belt in self-pity without my program. So you know, it's taking the inventory, and not in a judgmental way, but in removing things that fed the food monster that I could become. So anyway, yeah, I have to clean it out and look at it. And I'm so grateful that God, you know, can help me to later on get rid of this stuff with the seventh step prayer and that kind of stuff. So, You know, I used to always stuff my face with food, and I would say, no, it's not really about the emotional buildup. It really isn't. But, you know, it really was on so many levels. So I'm just so very grateful for this, because stuffing is only for teddy bears and turkeys, and I'm neither one of those. So thank you for you all, and have a wonderful, blessed day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. And Jeff A., we made it. You will be our last share. Please join us and tell us where you're calling from today.
So I am sharing now or no?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Jeff A., okay, so I'm a bit scared to say this. Something happened to me at 10 years old, and decades later, I ended up telling my sponsor, and I was scared that maybe he wouldn't be sponsoring me anymore. And I don't know why I thought this way, but I was scared. And he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry this happened." But basically, you were 10 years old. Your part completely was that you were 10 years old. That's it. And it was such a relief. I was 10 years old. That was it. That was my part, period. So hopefully someone's on the call and maybe you think, oh gosh, I'm a terrible person. When really, I was 10 years old and it had nothing to do with me, except I happened to be there when it happened. Thank you.
Jeff, where are you calling from? Okay. We have 2 minutes. Who would like to take, well, actually a minute and a half now. Anybody, any takers? Any burning desires? Someone unmuted? Okay. We're losing our 30 seconds. Okay, we're down to a minute, and it seems like nobody wants it today, so we will be here tomorrow. So let's thank Team Wednesday for December. Deborah L. in Arizona for reading the text. Anne S.H. is going to read for us momentarily. Wendy M. was our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Betsy H., and Jody E. will share announcements. Please stay on if you need a sponsor or you are an available sponsor. And thanks to Jan L. for reading the 12 steps. And Blair S. for reading the 12 traditions. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne S.H. kindly take us out and read a vision for you? Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Susan, for your service. Good morning, everyone. Page 164. My name is Anne S.H., and I'm calling in from British Columbia, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.